hold them up. Here we go. This is the word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is the most important part. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I've been in a message series. This is week number 6. Sometimes I'll do that. I don't like to do these extended series, but sometimes in the summer I'll do these because kind of people are in and out. And this was kind of a big topic, the story of Joseph and the life of Joseph. And so you can't really do that in 3 or 4 weeks. And so I wanted to do this one and do it completely. And so we're now in week 6. One more week. Next week we finish it up. I've been talking about the life of Joseph, understanding that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Anybody in here ever experienced a little of the ups and downs of life? Amen. All right, so half of y'all. The rest of y'all live the charm life. The best, living my best life now. Everybody want to put your hand up? We all experience some stuff, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that God, for he, the Father, gives his sunlight to both the good and the evil, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. What is he saying here? Yes, it literally, sun shines on both the evil and the good, and it rains on both. But what he's saying is sometimes bad things happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people. And so don't get confused when you see the wicked prosper. Why are they seem to be prospering all the time? I don't understand. They always do wrong and yet always seem to be blessed. It's short term. But I promise you that you keep doing the right thing and God has a greater blessing for the people of God. Your membership into the family of God, remember, this does not exempt you from experiencing life's ups and downs, as we all have attested to that. Right? We all go through some stuff. What's the old saying? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Good times, bad times, we all go through them. We live in a fallen world and we live amongst fallen people. And we have to realize that if we came to Christ with any other notion, maybe like somebody told you that, hey, if you come to Jesus, and life's going to be nothing but a bed of roses. It's going to be like smooth sailing for you from now on. But you got it made. People will take scriptures like Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Now, if you understand that in the Hebrew language, it means he takes the bumps out the road. But we still experience life's ups and downs, even when we're doing right and even when we're living right, because that's the life we live in. That's life, right? We've been studying Joseph's life. And we know Joseph was a man who loved God. He was loved by his father, hated by his brothers. He had a dream. We know that that dream was not accepted and received by all that knew him. His brothers did not like the dream. I want you to understand, many times, not sometimes, most of the time, when you have a God dream, most of the people around you won't get it. They won't understand it, and they will not champion the dream. They will not encourage the dream because they don't understand the dream. They have not experienced the experience that you had with God. And until they do, they'll never know what it is that God has in store for you. But I told you we need to learn to dream anyway. Do not let people deter you from having your dreams. Don't let situations deter your dreams. And don't let the detours that you face deter your dreams. Week number 3, Pastor Carla was telling you that we need to learn to do the right thing anyway. That Joseph had every opportunity and probably every reason to be offended at all the things that have happened to him up to this point in his life. And yet he chose not to be offended. He chose not to get angry or to let those things mess him up. Because I want you to understand this. This is important for you, the Christian man or woman. Offense, being offended is a choice. And when you believe that God is your defender, you won't soon be offended. Week number four, I told you that obstacles can't stop God's destiny. I told you about all the obstacles we faced as a church, all the mistakes I made and other people put in my path along the way. And yet I want you to understand, when you are following God's dream, Joseph was following God's dream. Not even a prison cell could stop God's destiny for your life. Whatever is in front of you is much, much smaller than the God that's inside of you. Last week, I told you that God is the author of connections. You ever wonder why the people that are in your life are in your life? No, they're not there to continually be the thorn in your side. If that person's sitting next to you, do not look at them right now. Especially if it's your husband or wife. You will get the elbow in your other side. God is the author of our connections. He puts us in this thing called the body of Christ. And in this body of Christ, we're here together to infect and affect the world for Jesus Christ, to bring the good news to the world around us. How many of you know that this world needs Jesus? Yes. My wife brought me a shirt. I was going to wear it today. Y'all need Jesus. But then I thought y'all might get offended. Today I want to talk to you about being prepared for a here and now moment. If you would, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. Continuing to study the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. Remember now, so Joseph's still in prison. He had interpreted the dream for the cupbearer and the baker, and the cupbearer goes back into his job and has forgotten about Joseph. Here's where we pick up the story. Chapter 41, verse 1. When two full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. When out of the river came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all his magicians and wise men of Egypt, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And the things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes," look at this next line, "he came before Pharaoh." The here and now moment was in front of Joseph. 13 years had gone by since the infamous dream, and now he's standing in front of the most powerful man in the known world, the most powerful man. Imagine today that the President of the United States calls your house and says, "I heard that you got something I need to hear. I'm sending Air Force One to pick you up. Shave and get dressed." You're going to be like, "Man, I better get the good suit." And you stand before this powerful man and he asks you to help him with a problem. Can you imagine? He called me last week. Throughout the Bible, we read and find stories of godly men and women that were prepared for here and now moments. God had prepared Abraham for the here and now moment to trust and believe in the impossible. And it says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God prepared Ruth for her here and now moment when she went to visit Boaz. And Boaz, one day she was Boaz's servant, the next day his wife. She went from working in the field to owning the field. I want you to know that's a here and now moment. Right? God prepared Esther to save her people and to give her favor with this crazy king to go before him and ask to save her people. She was prepared for the here and now moment. David was prepared for a here and now moment as a young shepherd boy going into a battlefield and facing a 9-foot-tall giant. I want you to know he was prepared for the moment because of the things he had been through. Solomon was prepared for a here and now moment. One night he had a dream. And in that dream, God said, ask me for whatever you want. Listen to me. Some of you may have had that dream. And God said in that dream, ask me, Solomon, for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, you put me in charge of this great nation of yours, this great bunch of people, and I'm just a young boy. I'm just a kid. Give me the wisdom, God, to govern this people. God was so impressed at Solomon's ask. You know what he did? He said, oh, not only am I going to give you what you've asked for, wisdom, like no one has ever seen. I'm going to give you riches like no one has ever seen. I'm going to give you things that no one has ever dreamed of in your life. Not only are you going to be smart and wise, but you're also going to be rich and good looking. He must have been. He had 1,000 wives. Maybe because he was rich. Peter, the crazy, erratic disciple, was prepared for a here and now moment one night in a boat. When he said, Lord, is that you? If it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and come to you. And Jesus just said to her, come. And Peter, not the 11 other disciples in the boat, only one, was willing to step over the side and into the water and walk on the water and do what no man had ever done before, all because of his here and now moment. Paul was prepared to follow Jesus on the Damascus Road when he was struck down and blinded by a flashing light. I want you to know he was prepared because he had been through some preparation. And each one of these people had a here and now moment, and God used them to change the destiny of generations of people because of their obedience. And listen to me today. I'm talking to you, the people of New Beginnings Church, those here in person and watching online. God has prepared you for a here and now moment. And if you will step up today and walk in obedience, God says, I got a here and now promotion for you. But you got to be willing to go where you've never gone before and do what you've never done before. And here's why I know you can do it, because I believe you're equipped. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus had been crucified and risen from the grave, and he was meeting with his disciples and he was preparing them for his departure. And he said these words to them in Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. In other words, I'm imputing to you my authority. All of the authority of heaven has been imputed to you, believer, son, woman, daughter, man of God. It has been imputed to you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And it's what he said, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. He's equipped you to accomplish the task at hand. But I want you to understand, when you look in the mirror, you see a problem. He sees potential. Not only are you equipped, but you're also empowered. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Again, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his soon departure to go back to heaven. And in Acts 1 verse 4, he said, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized. That word, immersed completely in the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 8, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You'll be empowered for this job. I know you don't think you have what it takes. I know when you look in the mirror, you see weak. He sees strong because he sees his Spirit. You're equipped and empowered, but you're also prepared. How do I know? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. Listen, there are people around you, people in your workplace, people in your family, people that you know, people that you don't know, that need a reason for the hope that you have. This world needs a reason for the hope that you have. You heard Pastor Kevin talking about the name Jesus. Listen, when you don't know what else to say, here's the reason for the hope that you have. Jesus, I don't have anything else. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. His name is Jesus. And now is the time. In our current days of turmoil and chaos, fear, anxiety are at an all-time high. People need hope and people need help. The answer is only one name, the name Jesus. We have the name, right? This is the place. New Beginnings Church has been called, anointed and empowered and equipped to reach this community and reach this world for Jesus one soul at a time. How do we do it? By the power of God living in us, by his mandate to go into all the world, right? And I want you to know, these are the people. The people around you, the people that you know and the ones you don't know, the ones in your neighborhoods, the ones in your workplaces, the ones that you come in contact with at Walmart and wherever else that you go, the people of St. Tammany Parish, we're called, this church is called to be a beacon of light. I've been prophesied over several times, and all three people who gave me a word gave me basically the same words. These were the words. I've been prophesied over that this church would be called a city on a hill, city of refuge, and a city of light. You know, do you know the purpose? The people who told me those three things had no idea that the purpose statement of New Beginnings Church was to be a beacon of hope, a sanctuary for the hopeless, and a haven for the downtrodden. Jesus himself said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I want you to know this church is not a country club for the spiritually elite. It's a hospital for sick people. Sick people who have a problem called sin, and they're waiting for you to step up and bring them in to get healed. Amen? Joseph was prepared. He had lived his life. He had been through some trials. He had experienced the worst and was now poised and ready for the dream to come to pass. We learned several lessons about Joseph being prepared. Listen, when you're ready for your here and now moment, here's where the notes pick up. That was all extra. Free. So you got bonus today. Say it when you say bonus. There you go. You got bonus. All right. When you're ready for your here and now moment, listen, number one, always give God the glory. You know what Joseph did in his life? He always gave God the glory. Here he is. He's brought before the most powerful man on earth, taken out of a prison, given some fresh clothes and a shave and a shower. He's probably feeling pretty good, looking good. And he's standing before this man. And Pharaoh says, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said that you can interpret the dream. That's what he says. I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Think about it. I've been in prison for 2 years. I've been on a 13-year journey to get here. I could be like, hey, look, I'm your guy. I got you. I got your interpretation. But also along with that interpretation is going to come a promotion for me. I need a job, and I need a place to live, and I need some money. I need a new car. And he didn't say any of that. He just says, God will give you the interpretation. You know what I've learned about God? When you start saying, look what God has done, God says, oh, you think that's good. Wait till you see what's coming next. Right. 2 years ago, probably should have started this 10 years ago, but 2 years ago, I started saying this publicly. We need to start saying, look what God has done. So we started saying, look what God has done. Look what God has done. And you know what God says? Wait till you see what's coming next. Wait till you see what the next thing is I can do. Keep giving me praise. I'll give you more things to praise. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, I love this verse, but I'm going to read it to you today in the Message translation. Now, some of you might, oh, Lord, the Message, just you don't bring that in church. That's just a, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to, it's saying meaning, listen to the words. It's so powerful. It says, God can do anything. How many of you believe that phrase? Can God do anything? Is anything out of the realm of possibility for God? Anyone. Here he is. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request. And here it is, in your wildest dreams. I have a pretty vivid imagination. I have a pretty big dreamer. God, you know, I got some big dreams. He said, you're not even tapping the surface. You're not even close to what I can do. The little things you dream about, like I can do that like that. You dream something big. All right? So I'm dreaming something big. I said this a couple of weeks ago. You know what I'm dreaming big? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it publicly because if you say it publicly, I'm proclaiming it. I sit on the board of Habitat for Humanity, and Habitat does a great job of providing affordable housing for people here all over the world, but here in West St. Tammany, do a fantastic job. But there's a gap between the people who are in the program and the people who are not in the program. We come across people here in church all the time that just need a step, one more step, just to help me get over the hump. So God gave me this idea for step-up housing. Little house, two-bedroom, one bath, that we can put a small family up in, or maybe a single mom and a couple of kids, and put them up for 90 days, 120 days, no charge. We feed you. We take care of you while you're here so that you can save. Criteria, you got to be working. And you save your money and you prepare. So in 90 days, 120 days, you're ready to go out and pay your new apartment deposit and all that stuff. And we just, in other words, we just give you a step up. So that's the kind of dream. And here's what I'm dreaming. That we're not going to have to buy nothing. God says, you want to do that for people? I'm going to take care of everything. I believe there's already little houses. I can see the little houses that some we're going to put. I want to put them right there. I know people think we're going to have problems with the parish. We're going to have problems with nobody. You know why? Favor. We're going to give God the glory. God said, we're going to make the way where there seems to be no way. And we're going to provide step-up housing. We're going to provide them safe, a place to live so they can step up and get ready for what's next. Give God the glory for everything he does in your life. And here's the thing, expect more. The second thing, when you're ready and prepared for the here and now moment, remember this, God has a plan. How many times you heard that in your Christian walk? Don't worry, God has a plan. It looks like stuff's spinning out of control. Like, oh my God, that somebody better have a plan because right now it looks like this whole thing's going to you know where. And this is what Joseph does to Pharaoh in verse 28. He tells Pharaoh, it is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly established by God, and God will do it soon. God gives Pharaoh the plan. Here's the plan. Here's the plans. You know, when I began to follow God, this is how, he didn't say, all right, look, here's the plan. Come in close. All right, you're going to sell your business to this guy, and you're going to follow me. It's not going to look good at first, but I promise you I got a plan. Here's what he said. Here you go. Here's this. You can have that part right there. Do that. I'm like, well, Lord, what do I do after that? You just do that. That's going to be hard enough. And that's going to be tough enough that if I gave you the whole plan, you'd probably bail out on the plan because you say, this is way too big for me. And you're wondering why you don't have the whole plan. Because you can't handle the whole plan. You ever see that movie with Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the plan. And you are running the other direction if God gave you the whole plan. And God gave the dream to Pharaoh, but he gave the interpretation to Joseph. Someone else may have had the dream, but it's God's man or woman with the answers. Regardless of how bad things may look today, listen to me, how bad they look today, I want you to remember that God's plans will always happen no matter what's in front of it. Things in our world may look bleak. Even in discussions with people, not a lot of good news, not a lot of, man, did you hear about this? The, you know, the stock market's 50,000. Like, I'm just kidding. Don't go, is it really? No, it's not really. Things in our world look bleak at the moment, right? Not very promising. But at some point, we have to quit looking at our situations and focus on our God. I want you to know, listen, he's greater than coronavirus. He's greater than racial tension. He's greater than a Saharan dust cloud. You know how I know that? He created the Sahara. God's plans, here they are to prosper you and not to harm you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now, I want you to understand. Let me give you the context of Jeremiah 29, 11. When Jeremiah spoke chapter 29, verse 11 to people, they were in bondage for 70 years at that point. They were slaves in another country. They were in a country called Babylon. They were slaves. They didn't know what freedom looked like. And here God's man is saying to them in their time of their worst time ever, the time of trouble, God's plans are to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, it don't sure look like a lot of hope in a future. You know where I'm at? God, you must have spoken. This guy must be a liar. You must have spoken through the wrong guy. Are you going to believe your circumstances or are you going to believe your God? Your here and now moment could happen in the most unlikely of places, in the most unlikely of times, because God's plans override everything else in all creation. God has a plan even when things appear to be out of control. Listen, and God has not surrendered his plan regardless of what appears to be happening. Quit looking around and start looking up. Yes. Number three, prepared for your here and now moment, your promotion could be tied to your preparation. Listen to me. Your promotion is tied to your preparation. There's no doubt. Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. Joseph talking to Pharaoh. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Listen, Joseph gave the plan to Pharaoh and never asked for a spot on the board of directors. Pharaoh, listen, here's the plan, and while you're thinking about it, I'm your guy. You don't need to even look any further. You don't need a search committee. You don't need to go outside. You don't need to get on one of the websites and find, I'm your candidate. You don't need to look any further. I'm your guy. Never says that. Joseph just delivers the word, just sits back and waits for God. Listen, Joseph's preparation is what prepared him for this moment in time. I want you to know that the years of your preparation have prepared you for this moment in time. Listen, his destiny was in front of him because his past was behind him. I want you to know your destiny is in front of you because some of you got a lot of past behind you. And you got to quit looking back at your past and start looking forward to your future because God has a future and a hope for you and his plans are good plans. Amen. Amen. Recognize that preparation time has gotten you ready. He's anointed you and appointed you for such a time as this. If you're like me, you might be saying, "Well, my promotion is going to be pretty big. I've been through a lot of stuff." I say to God, you know what I've been through the last 10 years? You best have some good stuff. I never say you best have. I was like, "Lord, you please have some good stuff." It's like the day Jesus showed up at a pool. He was hot, wanted to take a swim, showed up at this pool, town called Bethesda. Crippled man by the pool. It was said of this pool that when the water was stirred by the angels, if you got in the water, you'd be healed. And it says a man was laying there, been crippled for 38 years. I want you to know 38 years is a long time. And sometimes when you've had an affliction for a long period of time, you begin to think that that affliction is your lot in life. "Well, I've been this way my whole life. I guess I'm never going to really be healed." How many of y'all buy into that? That time is the telltale sign of whether you're going to prosper or not. "Well, I've been this way my whole life. I guess I'm always going to be this way." Listen, quit looking at the time. The question was to this man that laid by the pool, hey, do you want to be healed? Every time I read it, I'm astounded at his answer. Yes, but don't let your yes be followed by a but. The buts will get in the way every time, right? The answer was simple. Do you want to be healed? Do you want a promotion? Are you ready for the next level? Do you want to go where God? Yeah, but God, you don't know who you're talking to. God, have you seen my past? You've been where I've been. You've seen what I've seen. And God's like, that wasn't the question. The question was, are you ready for a promotion? Are you ready to get healed? Are you ready to take the next step? For you, are you ready to take the next step? Here's the answer. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Walking in his calling, be ready. God has asked you to share something, share it. Do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. If God said, go to the table next to you at lunch today and share Jesus with those people, they need him in a bad way. They need me in a bad way. You best get up and wipe your mouth and go tell them what God has told you to tell them. If it's your mama, if it's your daddy, if it's your brother, your sister, if somebody in your family, then you better get on the phone. You better call them today. Lord, I feel like it is urgent that I talk to you today. I believe God says a word for you, and the word is you need him. You need a relationship with him. Do not be afraid. Do not be upset. Do not be fearful of the rejection or what may come on the other end of the phone call. Just be obedient to do what it is God's called you to do. Your promotion is tied to your preparation. And lastly, the most important part, and I want you to get this. Your here and now moment will lead to more than you ever imagined. Big imagination, huge, with a Y. Genesis 41:39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring. I want you to understand, that ring was like his signature. Like, in other words, it was like Pharaoh giving Joseph the platinum American Express card. Whatever you need, bro, here you go. Take that ring. It's all yours. Took the signet ring from his finger, put it on Joseph's finger, dressed him in robes, royal robes, put a fine linen coat on him and a gold chain around his neck. He looked like a rapper. Big old chain. And he had him ride in his chariot. It was a low rider. Candy blue. Some really nice chrome wheels and stuff. Thing was looking right. Come on, you ride in my chariot. And this is what happened when he got in the chariot. He went next to Pharaoh, and the people shouted, make way. Get out the way. Here come the man. I want you to get your head around this. And thus, he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Joseph the Hebrew, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, forgotten about in prison, and all this leads to this moment in time, promoted to the second highest position in the most powerful country in the world. 13 years and all that life had thrown at him were preparing him for this moment. I want you to know all that you've been through have prepared you for this here and now moment. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Let me ask you this. If you're ready to receive your here and now moment, would you stand? Here's a question. Who's your daddy? No, not the one who birthed you. The one who birthed you again, right? And who is he? The what? King of kings. That makes you royalty. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. You know what happens to royal people? Eventually, they take the royal position. They take the throne of royalty because you were destined for it. I'll take your position too. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're royalty. And it's only a matter of time until you take your royal position. God has more planned for you than you ever dreamed of. It is your here and now moment, and it will be far greater than you ever dreamed or you imagined. Remember this, always give God the glory. Remember, even when it looks crazy, God has a plan. Your promotion is tied to your preparation, and your moment will lead to more than you ever imagined. If you're ready, just raise your hands and surrender. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive all that you have for me. I'm ready to take my position in this here and now moment. I'm ready to open my mouth. I'm ready to say what it is you want me to say and do what it is you ask me to do. God, no holds barred. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. I'm living this life for you from this moment forward. I give you all the praise and glory because you're worthy. Today is activation day for the men and women of God called, appointed, and anointed to make a difference for you on the earth. And God, we are about to leave this place full of your spirit, empowered, equipped, anointed for such a time as this. And God, the people in this parish, the people around us, those who know us and those who don't know us, are in for a rude awakening, God, because we're about to take Jesus to the world around us because we've been called to this for this moment in time. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.